Good morning.
Good morning, Larry.
Oh, I was just back there. Got distracted. It's easily done. Today, I'm just going to jump right in. This is something that I think we all know this. I don't think I've ever come up with here with something you didn't already know. But we're going to cover John 21:15-17. It's going to be our main verse today. And the title of that in my study Bible is The Love Question. Now, if you were here for breakfast this morning, you had already got this message. And if you were here, you're dismissed now if you want. But this is basically, this is the deal. Okay, I'm going to jump right in. I'm just going to motor through this and you soak it up. And we're going to believe that this is the message the Holy Spirit wanted to share today. And we're going to believe that he has touched your hearts in a way that you can receive it in a way that it works for you. And what I mean by the way that it works for you, that it actually transforms you. Okay? So John chapter 21, beginning in verse 15. I believe this is the NASB I'm reading out of right now. And it says, "Now when they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, 'Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?' He said to him, 'Yes, Lord, you know that I love you.' He said to him, 'Tend my lambs.' He said again to him a second time, 'Simon, son of John, do you love me?' He said to him, 'Yes, Lord, you know that I love you.' He said to him, 'Shepherd my sheep.' He said to him a third time, 'Simon, son of John, do you love me?' Peter was hurt because he said to him the third time, 'Do you love me?' And he said to him, 'Lord, you know all things, and you know that I love you.' Jesus said, 'Tend my sheep.'" Now, there are a million different commentaries out there on this, and I read half of them, so about 500,000 I went through. And there's some great discussions out there, and you'll find that where I'm going with this, it's really not so much about whether you agree with one commentary or another, but the idea that you want to keep in mind today is that this is a great point that we actually investigate and understand what love is. So in mine, I kind of lean more towards the fact the way that it was written. And if you know the translation for love, it's actually two different words used in this scripture. When Jesus asked the first question, he asked Peter, "Do you agape me?" Peter answered, "I phileo you, Lord." Okay, and then in the second question, Jesus asks, "Do you agape me?" And Peter responds again, "I phileo you." And then Jesus finally asks, "Do you phileo me, Peter?" Peter's final response was the same as the other two. "You know all things, Lord. You know I phileo you." Now, the value of that is up for, you know, like I said, commentaries. They've got they have to comment, so there's why there's all these different commentaries out there. But you will see here, when I actually read this, I'm not a big fan of these expansive Bibles, but because for me, they're laborious. I understand the English language pretty well, but I love it when we actually insert the meaning of the words in. So I'm going to cover that today. And I believe this is out of the Message Bible. Same scripture. It says, "So when they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, 'Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these others do, with total commitment and devotion?' He said to him, 'Yes, Lord, you know that I love you with deep personal affection as for a close friend.' Jesus said to him, 'Feed my lambs.' Again, he said to him a second time, 'Simon, son of John, do you love me with total commitment and devotion?' He said to him, 'Yes, Lord, you know that I love you with a deep personal affection as for a close friend.' Jesus said to him, 'Shepherd my sheep.' He said to him a third time, 'Simon, son of John, do you love me with a deep personal affection for me as for a close friend?' Peter was grieved that he asked him a third time, "Do you really love me with a deep personal affection as a close friend?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you with a deep personal affection for a close friend." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep." And to continue on in verse 18, it says, "I assure you, and mostly solemnly say to you, when you were younger and you dressed yourself and walked wherever you wished, but when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands and arms and someone else will dress you and carry you where you do not wish to go." Now he said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. And after saying this, he said to him, "Follow me, walk the same path of life that I have walked." Now, in the 15th verse, as indicated by the amplifications, Peter uses a different Greek word for love, phileo, than Jesus does, agapeo. In the verse 17, this time Jesus uses the same word for the love that Peter previously had used twice, which is phileo. Now, Peter, just to back up Peter here, because a lot of people take this and say Peter just wasn't devoted because he wouldn't use the agape. I find that hard to believe, and some would argue that there's no way that these words were used because they were used interchangeably back then there in the day, because we were there, right? We know this. So they said that John was just playing with words. I don't find that, personally, I find that offensive. Because the concept there is that Jesus would not compromise in his requirement for the level of love required to be in ministry. So in Peter's defense, Peter ministered 30 years after the resurrection of Jesus. He was martyred in Rome by Emperor Nero in about AD 67. The Roman historian Eusebius said that Peter was crucified upside down at his own request. I don't think that is just a casual love, right? So anyway, the definition of agapeo, or in verb form, or noun agape as we know it, means to love unconditionally and sacrificially as God himself loves sinful men and the way he loves his own son. For we share some examples of love. And there are so many. I plucked out a few that were meaningful, demonstrating God's love. In John 3:16, we know that one, right? "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life." In John 3:35, "The Father loves the Son and has entrusted all things to his hand." In John 15:9, "Just as the Father has loved me, I also have loved you. Remain in my love." And then in John 17, verses 23 and 24, "I in them and you in me, that way we may be perfected in unity, so that the world may know that you sent me and you loved them just as you loved me. Father, I desire that they also, whom you have given me, be with me where I am, so that they may see my glory, which you have given me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world." These are all examples of agape. Now, MacArthur says it in this way: agapeo expresses the ideal kind of love, that which is exercised by the will rather than emotion, not determined by the beauty or desirability of the object, but the noble intention of the one who loves. Then that falls nicely into the category of the love that God demonstrated for us. Let me put it in my words. Love isn't emotionally driven, not by how things look or how they seem, by the one receiving it. It is by the reason or the motive by which love is given. And that's the whole point of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That it is given, not deserved, and it is given freely, not because of how someone looks or by the things that they do, by the condition of their heart and the love of the one who gives it. There is a need, and that is why it is given. We know that when we are given directions, a lot of times when it's repeated, there's a reason for that. That is done because it's showing a level of importance. There's crickets in here. I'm the only one that's had it repeated. I know Belinda repeats her to me all the time because I've told her that I'm special needs, so she addresses me in that way. And I'm thankful. When it is important, I do want it repeated. That way it's clear. Not assumed. Okay? It's clear direction. This is what I'm asking. And Jesus asks three times, and the repeated instruction is given to demonstrate that importance of the instruction as well as the application. Because if you notice Jesus saying, "Do you love me? Feed my lambs. If you love me, shepherd my sheep." See, there's an application to what he's asking. It's very clear. There was nothing for Peter to interpret there. And I think that's why Peter was able to give the honest answer. "I'm not there yet. But you know, I'm dedicated to you as a close friend. I'm not there yet." As a matter of fact, it was a little while later when Peter actually got there and that his ministry exploded. So it's not a prerequisite, but it's an important component. Phileo love, you thought I was ignoring it, I wasn't. Phileo love is friendly. It is the natural love one has for their friends, especially close friends. Basically, it means to approve of, to like, to sanction, to treat affectionately or kindly, to welcome, to befriend. You get the picture. But you see, it has a lot to do with whether there's something we're getting out of it. You know, the difference between a friend and an enemy is a choice. It's a choice. Because everyone's got baggage. And everyone has a value. But the difference between our friends and our enemies is we choose to accept the baggage with those we call friends, and we refuse to accept the baggage of those we call our enemy. That's it. It's a choice. Love is a choice. John 3:16 and 17, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world, but so that the world might be saved through him." See, God didn't love the world because we're so awesome. He loved the world and sent his Son in the world because there was a need for his love to prevail in every single life. Loving Jesus because he has graciously forgiven all your sins is the foundational motive for serving him. So there is a motive for loving. Because we've received the forgiveness, the mercy and grace. We've been cut a break. But yet we're not going to share that same example. And we've got other scriptures that'll back this up. You know, about the, I'm not even going to go there. We get it, right? Every last man, woman, and child that ever existed, that will ever exist, is and has the immeasurable love of Jesus unto his death. We have the immeasurable love of Jesus for the gift of life through his resurrection. The immeasurable love of Jesus for his return. Let us understand one thing today. Love is not a feeling. It can have feelings that accompany it, but in and of itself, love, like I said earlier, is a choice. It's a choice. It's a predisposition to give someone a break. To give them a hand. To show them a better way. Not to condemn them for what they've done. or how they're behaving, or the lack they have to love as you love. Because if that was the case, we're all in trouble. Because if God held us to the same standard, he would not have sent his son. Love is the conduct that exemplifies brotherhood and unity. Love is choosing to do what is right, regardless of personal gain or personal loss. Love does not require coaxing or convincing. And for you those in relationships, love is not clairvoyant. Love is giving with gratitude, and love is also receiving with thankfulness. Love does not take prisoners, nor does love wound. Love can seem harsh sometimes, but love is consistent and continuous. Love is faithful. We are to choose to love. Love does not choose what we do for us, but we are directed by the love we have one for another. We choose to follow or to not follow that love direction. And I also felt compelled to mention favoritism. According to relationships, it is placing one higher value on someone than some others. And there is no place for that in agape. As a matter of fact, there's no place for it in the body of Christ. It simply does not factor in to the love that Jesus is talking about. In James chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, it says, if you really keep, I like how they put that, you really keep the royal law found in Scripture, love your neighbor as yourself, you are doing right. But if you show favoritism, you sin and are convicted by the law as lawbreakers. And we also know John 14, 15 says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Let me rephrase that. If you agape me, you will keep my commandments. It is the love of Christ. It is not a must-do list. Part of love is directing and correcting. Jesus is directing, and it is not a refer again back to what I've already said. It is not a to-do list. Jesus is showing us that love works for us and love works through us. We receive his love and his commandment to love. Jesus wants us to get it, which means when we get it, we are to give it. And we are to give it without a price tag. What did we pay for when we were forgiven? Nothing. And that's exactly what we should expect in return when we love others. There is this idea out there that struck me some years ago. It simply says, you know, love should be transformational, and it's never transactional or something to that effect. It was probably worded a little cleverer than that. But the fact is that true love is transformational. It should transform you, and you are changed from the inside out. Then if that's true, then we could say that transactional love or relationships, because it doesn't exist, transactional love doesn't exist. Let me back that up. Transactional relationships are completely external, based off of looking good in deed or by beauty. When love is given, it never comes with a price tag. If there is a price tag, then it isn't love. That is simply commerce. That is one thing given for something in return, and it is a simple business transaction. That's not love. We can see that doing all the right stuff isn't what is required. If it is done without love, then it is meaningless and costly. The right stuff comes because of the love that we have one for another. The love, it does not choose us, choose for us, but because we love, we have chosen the way that is good and approved of Jesus. Because of love. In Revelation 2, there's a warning. This is a message to Ephesus, beginning in verse 1 through verse 7. It says, "To the angel of the church of Ephesus write, the one who holds the seven stars in his right hand, the one who walks among the seven golden lampstands, says this, I know your deeds and your labor and perseverance, and that you cannot tolerate evil people, and you have put those who call themselves apostles to the test, and they are not, and you found them to be false. And you have perseverance and have endured on account of my name and have not become weary." Sounds good so far. Verse 4, "But I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Therefore remember from where you have fallen and repent. And do the deeds you did at first, or else I am coming to you and I will remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. But you have this, that you hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. The one who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To the one who overcomes, I will grant to eat from the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God." See, the first love is the love that was shown through us through the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we know his love. For the world did not know love until it was demonstrated for us by God. Now, I heard this statement once. It says, I look at you and I see two people. The person you are now and the person you could be. I by no means want to trivialize Jesus on the cross, but ultimately that is the reason he went to the cross. As he looked at all humanity, he has seen two people. He's seen two people in all of us, the person we are and the person we could become. The issue with the person we are for you saints out there that are perfect, the person you were, is this: all too often, we believe our own press release. It's referring to all the awesome and cool things that we have, or that we do, or that we say. Or we begin to believe the press of friends and family. And that's the same problem, because they're going back to the same source, who also refer to the awesome and cool things that you have, do, or say. See, those are all external. David, and I love this, and doesn't directly go over, but I don't know. I have it here, so here it is. Psalm 32:5. "I acknowledge my sin to you, and I did not hide my guilt. I said, I will confess my wrongdoings to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin." David, in humility, took the ownership of his shortcomings and took it to God in confession. Proverbs 28:13. "One who conceals his wrongdoings will not prosper, but the one who confesses and abandons them will find compassion." Psalm 32:6. "Therefore, let everyone who is godly pray to you in a time where you may be found." Do you know when a good time God can be found? No takers? I do. Right now. Right now is the time that is available to you to surrender to the love of God through his Son and by his Holy Spirit. right now. Colossians 3, verses 1 through 3. Subtitle, put on a new self. But I'd like to infer that maybe it would be better said, return to your first love. Therefore, if you have been raised with Christ, keep seeking the things that are above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on the things that are above, not on the things that are on earth. For if you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. See, we are to remain in Him by pressing into the mercy and grace that we are afforded, allowing Him to keep us from falling backwards. By the way of intimacy, or this agape, we are delivered from our own sin, from our own sin nature, then made able to truly love. So here's the questions. Do you agape me, New Hope Christian Center? Feed my lambs. Do you agape me, New Hope Christian Center? Shepherd my sheep. Do you phileo me, New Hope Christian Center? Tend my sheep. Now, it might seem a little silly, but I always, much like other preachers, like to put ourselves into the story. And I identify with Peter pretty well, to a degree. And that would have hurt my feelings. But the truth of the matter is wherever Peter was, doesn't matter how we interpret the wording, whether it was similar words just used generally or they actually were used by their explicit definition. The fact of the matter is this was Peter's chance when he got that gut check to step up or step off. And we know that Peter stepped up. He fulfilled his purpose and died a horrible death, demonstrating that it was no joke to him. That Jesus was the Son of God, and then through him, all mankind could be saved. I'd like the music team, please. So I have another question, and this is just me. Are we really being transformed by the love of Christ, or are we much like Charlie Bucket, clinging to the golden ticket that we believe that we bought with a price and anxiously hoping for the best or being the lucky one? Now, if you don't know who Charlie Bucket is, it's the Charlie of Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. I thought there'd be more Willy Wonka fans in here than that. I mean, really. Never mind, no. See, I mean, that's the question. Are we really being transformed? Because love is transformational. We talked about it this morning at breakfast. If you're the same today that you were 20 years ago, then we've got a problem. You're on the treadmill and you're not walking. You're going backwards. But by the agape love that we are enabled to move forward. Because we've actually engaged on a level that's meaningful with the one who calls himself God. Do we have this love? It's freely given, and all we have to do is receive through asking for it. So the question I have is, will you... will you commit to agape? Will you live agape with me today? Is there love that's transformational and active in your life? Is there transformation in your heart that is bringing about a renewing of your mind? This is a time where I'd like to invite everybody forward for prayer. Not just anybody, not just the lost, not the ones that just need recommitment, everyone. Because there's not a soul in here that doesn't need prayer. I would like to ask Jim, Aaron. Okay, I don't see anyone else. Belinda and Brooke. I'd like them to come up. If I could, have the Belinda and Kim over here. No, wait, Kim's not here. Brooke over here, sorry. I had names written down so I wouldn't forget. And Jim and Aaron over here. Okay. And I don't know why, but that's just how I want it. We're going to believe it's the way God wants it. These people, these people, they're here. They've come up out of obedience. Oh, nice. These are men and women of God, and they're up here for you, to pray with you. So if I could have you stand, bow your heads, close your eyes, and give everyone around you the privacy that they need, because this is a very personal thing. I do not want anyone to leave this place today burdened. With the things of this world. The Bible says we have not because we ask not. Let us not leave here today burdened. Rather, by the Spirit of God and the power of prayer, because I don't know if you notice this, but God's still on the throne. And prayer changes things. Now hear this, 2 Corinthians 3:17. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Now this is the hard part. For every time Jesus asked anybody to do anything or asked of anyone anything, there was always an action component. That action component today is you coming forward. There's no shame in needing help. And there's no reason to remain enslaved by your burdens. This could be your first commitment to Christ or a simple renewal, but this can be about anything that is burdening, that is a burden to you, be it physical, an emotional burden, a spiritual numbness, a financial shortfall, anything and all things. Let it go and let God lead you. Come forward. I'm going to keep talking. I'm just going to keep talking until you guys surrender to what's burdening your heart. Come forward. This is what the body of Christ is about, praying over one another, laying hands on one another, freeing one another through sharing in the prayer, through sharing in the problems. Yes, we share in the good times, and we break bread, and we fellowship, and we pray together, and we break bread together, and we study the apostles' teaching. Those are the four pillars. You know what? Prayer is important. You think that you don't need prayer today, quit lying to yourself, quit believing the lies that come straight from hell and smell like smoke. You need prayer today. If you don't think you need prayer, let me pop CNN up there on the screen, and I'll tell you, within 2 seconds, you're going to realize I live in a fallen world, and I need prayer. There is no one perfect in this place. No, not one. Do not be ashamed. Do not leave here burdened. Be brave, like Bartimaeus, who shed off all of his worldly belongings, didn't care what the even apostles were shouting him down, telling him to shut up. He didn't care about what anyone said or what anyone thought, and he threw himself at Jesus' feet, and Jesus asked, "What is it you want from me?" And he goes, "I want to see." And he said, "Because of your faith, you now see." And he was healed. Bartimaeus didn't care what the world thought. He knew he had a need, and he surrendered to that need, and he surrendered to the one who could take that and make it a positive. Because if you didn't know about Bartimaeus, he went on. He started several churches, lived the rest of his life preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ and salvation through the love that God demonstrated for each and every one of us. Do you have a need? You also have a God who can deliver. We have a God of many names and a God of many wonders. Let me give you some of those names. Jehovah, our God. Adonai, the Lord who is master of all things. Jehovah Yireh, the Lord will provide. What will He provide? Everything you need. Jehovah Rapha, the Lord, our healer. Boy, do we need a healing today. What does He heal? All of our afflictions. All of our afflictions. We have Jehovah Nissi, the Lord, our banner. The banner of what? It's the banner that lifts us up. We are above this world because of Him. We are in it, but not of it. We have Jehovah Shalom, the Lord, our peace. That peace is fulfilled. It is perfected in the name of Jesus. It is finished in the name of Jesus. Jehovah Elohim, the Lord our God. Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord our righteousness. We have Jehovah Rohi, the Lord our shepherd. The one who directs our paths, the one who whispers in our ears and says, go this way. When we stand at the crossroads and we look and we ask about the old ways, this is the voice that says, this is the old way, this is the good way. That is our shepherd. We have El-Hakad, the one true God. We have El-Shaddai, the Almighty, all-powerful and all-sufficient one, who reigns over all things. We have Elohim, the creator and the judge. And last but not least, I have on my list, it's El Elyon, Most High. Most High. This is who we serve. This is who we surrender to. This is who looked to us with loving kindness and sent His own Son to shed His blood to cover our sins, to take our sins away, to be the sacrificial lamb for every sin before, present, and future. For every man, woman, and child from the beginning of time until this world ends, Jesus' blood covers and removes the stain of sin. Don't let pride be the sin, the pride of that you don't want to be embarrassed, that you don't want people to know you're icky. If you're thinking that, you're thinking foolishly, because we love you. We are New Hope Christian Center, and we are here as your family. You are adopted in the minute you walked in the front door or the side door, even the back door. If you crawled down through the chimney, we would bring you in and love you. Not because we have to like you, and I know that sounds mean, but we love you according to the scripture that we are to love every last human being. It isn't about deserving. Amen? Getting forgiveness isn't about deserving either. You can be forgiven of your shortfalls, your shortcomings today. You can be empowered, enriched, and strengthened in your walk, in your faith, in your belief, in your ability to take on life's challenges through the prayer and by the power of Jesus Christ and by the Holy Spirit who dwells in you. Here we are. Here we are in the house of worship. This is where we can lay it all down. Oh, I can't tell you how many times I've been the sobbing sot at the altar, because I know how awful I have been. I know how awful I still can be. And by the grace of God and by the power of His Spirit, I'm only a little bit awful. And I thank God for that. My wife thanks God for that. Amen. Amen. I don't want anyone to feel rushed. You can if you like. Yeah, that'd be fine. Woo. I don't know about you, but I feel good. The Holy Spirit is here. God presented himself before us today that we would know that there is a way, and it is a better way than our way. Amen. I'm not going to carry on anymore. I just want you to know that I love you. You may not have been to my house yet. I may not have been to your house yet, but I love you. That's the reason I can come out here and pour out my heart like I do. And it's not because that love is in me of my own volition, but it's because I know that without love, we all fail. Without God's love, I'd fail. It's the only reason I give a care about other people, to be honest. Because God so loved me. For God so loved you. That we have a future and a hope of heaven everlasting. And all the bondage and the chains and the burdens and the tears and the suffering of this world will be washed away. Amen. There's an awesome hope. Oh boy. Tomorrow starts a new work week for most of us. Not looking forward to it. But you know, with the strength and with the love of Jesus in my heart, I'm going to make it the best week I can. And I'm going to love on everyone I can. Now, for those of you that did not come up and get prayer, I don't know what that's all about, and I don't care. Love you just the same. My number is in the directory. My email is in the directory. If you are so compelled to have a private conversation about anything that's burdening you or anything that you'd like me to pray with you or pray on my prayer list about, please use those. That's why they're in there. And I'm sure that Pastor Aaron, Pastor Henry, Pastor Jim, they're not going to deny a phone call or an email either. That's what we're here for. We're here to encourage one another, and all the more as we see the day approaching. Amen. So let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for your love and for your presence, Lord, in our lives. We thank you for the path that you have created for each and every one of us. We pray your strength and your wisdom to be with us as we go down that path, that we'd stay on the right path. And when we do come to those intersections of life, that we would seek out the old and good way. Father, you are worthy. We humbly come before you to say we love you. We surrender to you in every way we possibly can to your good and perfect will. And we say to you, Lord, yes, we love you. In Jesus' holy name, bless this week and in our travels home today. Amen. You are dismissed.